Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
The Boston Globe says it's investigating the public allegations of an inappropriate text exchange between a Globe editor and a former online editor at Boston.com. Globe editor Brian McGrory says he does not recall the exact text exchange with former Boston.com editor Hillary Sargent, whom McGrory says he dated many years ago. Joining us to talk about this is WBUR media analyst and Boston University journalism professor John Carroll. John, thanks for coming in.
Hi, Deb.
So let's start with this text in question. A screenshot of this text was tweeted by Hillary Sargent, who's the former Boston.com editor. So what exactly did it say?
Well, it basically was asking advice about writing and talking about the writing process. And then whoever it was she was having this exchange with, and it's not clear from the screenshot, whoever it was said, well, what do you wear when you write? And she texted back, seriously? And the answer was, well, not entirely. That was seen as by her as an extremely inappropriate exchange to have. Hmm. She identified the other person as Brian McGrory, but she did not specify at what time, at what period the exchange took place. So that's still up in the air.
Right. The Globe says it's looking for more context, right? Because, as you say, it is very vague. We're not sure really who was involved here in this exchange. Brian McGrory released a statement yesterday saying that he and Sargent dated several years ago, and he has asked her specifically for more information about the timing and the context of this text exchange. So far, he says Sargent hasn't responded to him. So I wonder, John, like, how does this issue of prior dating affect all of this? Does it make it more gray, if you will?
Well, I think it complicates things. And part of why it complicates it is because Hillary Sargent did not reveal that. Brian McGrory did. And so that would have been something that people could have and would have taken into consideration when looking at this whole situation. The chronology overall is really vague. Hillary Sargent was an intern at the Boston Globe in 1998 and 1999. In 2014, she went to Boston.com, which is a subsidiary of Boston Globe Media Partners.
And we should say she left after 1999 when she was an intern.
And she has implied that there was some incident that occurred then. She came to Boston.com in 2014. It's an independent subsidiary of Boston Globe Media Partners. So Brian McGrory, if he had been editor at the time of this exchange, would not have been her direct boss. Okay. But it's the Globe made a point of that in the article this morning. But it's pretty clear that Boston.com was sort of the Pawtucket Red Sox of the Boston Globe. I mean, there was a lot of aspirational sort of work that was done there in the hopes that they would move up to the Boston Globe. But the truth of the matter is, technically, Brian McGrory was not her superior if it happened between 2014 and 2016.
Do we know anything else about their professional relationship?
No, Brian says he's always respected her. Hillary Sargent has been a little bit grudging in terms of more details, especially since the Boston Globe has sent her a draft of a lawsuit that apparently they have not filed yet, but that asks her for more information and also asks for unspecified damages. That seems a little ominous. Right. Hillary Sargent tweeted this morning that for 6 months, she's been offering to talk to the Globe about the environment in the Boston Globe newsroom and that they have declined to talk about it. She says she has not refused to provide more details. So this is a classic he said, she said, in a number of different ways.
So is the Globe playing hardball with this? Because it's my understanding the Globe is sort of saying, well, you know, under the terms of your severance, you agreed to cooperate with any request by with reasonable requests, I think the legal language says, reasonable requests by the Globe in connection with any investigation that may have happened while you worked here, right? So is that standard, or are you saying this is like the Globe playing hardball here?
I think they went to lawyers pretty quick. maybe they had tried and failed to get details, and so they thought this was their only recourse. It could be that Hillary Sargent is right, that she has been willing to cooperate, and the Globe has taken another path. We just don't know. It's one of the many things we don't know here.
Now, you mentioned that she says that she has offered information to the Globe, but she's also been very critical about the Globe's coverage of sexual harassment within its own ranks. So remind us of that a little bit.
Right. So there was this situation that arose back in December where the Boston Globe was reporting on the Me Too movement in terms of media and how media organizations were handling it. And they said, you know, it's been difficult for us, too. We had a situation where we had a reporter who was pressured to leave because he made inappropriate comments and suggestions to a number of women, one within the Globe, a couple on Beacon Hill. But they did not name him. And that became a point of contention because the Globe, as many people pointed out, is pretty quick to name other people as well. So they eventually named him. His name is Jim O'Sullivan. And that put them in a position where they said the confidence in the transparency of the Globe is something that has been damaged to some degree because of that incident. So I think they carry that baggage into this situation. And in some cases, it would cause people not to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Right. And so how would you describe media response so far to this? Because it seems to be a little more muted than some of the other high-profile cases that we've had recently, right?
This has been interesting on a number of levels. For one thing, it really started at two places where the Kevin Cullen rumpus started about a month ago over his coverage of the Marathon bombings. Mm. WEEI and this website called Turtle Boy Sports. Mm. From there, it went to WGBH's Greater Boston. They did a segment on it Tuesday night. And then Commonwealth Magazine picked it up, and then more mainstream media are picking it up as well at this point. But it's something that has been, people have been pretty much walking on eggshells over this because it's a difficult situation, for one thing. But also, it's a situation with the Boston Globe, and a number of people are reluctant, at least apparently, to get crosswise with the Globe.
Mm. But also, it's a different situation because there seems to be quite a bit of gray area, too.
There certainly is. But one of the other media interesting media aspects is the Boston Herald has stayed away from this assiduously. Mm. And they posted something on their website today, but there's been nothing in the paper. And that's been true also of the Kevin Cullen situation. Mm. And it's uncharacteristic of the Herald, which usually this is mother's milk to them. And they usually glory in this kind of thing. So that's an unusual aspect as well.
All right. John Carroll, WBUR media analyst and journalism professor at Boston University. John, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, the new NFL policy that says teams can be fined if their players kneel in protest during the national anthem at NFL games. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.